Good Motzei Shabbos to all our audience. It's me again, Daniel Assel. I hope you were listening to my radio program last Motzei Shabbos. I started with my own personal story about how I made a tshuva. How I made a tshuva after leaving Judaism altogether and converting to Christianity, and was involved in a missionary activity in the States, in Florida. I was telling you how I was an officer in the Israeli Air Force, and then I left. I left to the States, and I started to deal with Giorgio Armani, Versace, fashion. Went on with my secular life, trying to make some living, some money, and then having little money to purchase an airplane of my own, and then I started to study flying. And as I told you last week, then at the age of 30, I was already married with a Dutch, a Catholic woman. And I was a flight instructor in the States. My life went on. I got involved in a missionary activity. And then I got a phone call from my brother-in-law. That was that already left the States. I told you that my brother-in-law last time was a priest that converted to Judaism. He was on a contract with the Arachim movement. He used to tell his own story in the seminar, seminars of Arachim, trying to reach out to Jewish people and to make them understand what Judaism is all about, or to open their heart toward Judaism. And he used to live here in Tifrach, in a little settlement here nearby Be'er Sheva, in the south of Israel, by the Negev, at the Negev. He made a phone call to me, and he told me that actually, my sister, I have a baby, and I told him Mazal Tov, and he had a little discussion with me, revealing to me that he knows my secret, and he knows exactly what I'm doing in the States, despite the fact that I was trying to hide everything that I was doing, not letting my family know that I'm married, that I converted, that I'm a missionary, that I'm not holding no more to Judaism. And I'm started to basically get nervous in the conversation. And I told him to back up and have his own life. And he told me, you know, you're my brother, you're my brother-in-law. Let's have a real conversation. I know everything you're doing, and I know Rabbi Yosef Yagen, I know Rabbi Israel Tauber. I know that you met them. Let's get together and it's either you or me. One of us have made a mistake. You are an intelligent person. I am an intelligent person. One of us have done the wrong thing. If I made the wrong thing, then I'm willing to go back. And if you have done the wrong thing, I'm not even asking you to keep the mitzvot. It's your own problem. If you want, then keep the mitzvot, but don't harm the Jewish people. Don't try to preach the gospel, or to try to convince them to come to Christianity. It was a rough argument over the phone. My sister was listening, and she started to cry there. And he told me, you know, your sister never believed me that you are a missioner. And she's here listening to the conversation. I asked him to let me speak with her, and she started to cry and tell me how come, how could you do such a thing? We come from a righteous people, a righteous a grandfather, righteous fathers, and how come you converted without even checking well enough what Judaism is all about? Why didn't you didn't you let us know that you have a problem? And I told her that I'm willing to meet her husband and to have an argument, theological argument with him. But I have one condition. You're not allowed to tell my mother, to tell my brothers, to tell my family, because if so, then I will disconnect myself from even having any contact with her or with her husband. She agreed to the condition. She didn't have much of a choice. That's what I told her. And then I was willing to meet her husband when he will come to the States for a theological argument. Like I told you, I told my friends in the church and the pastor and the old pastor that was guiding all the group of pastors there, that I'm actually my family was knows, and they were able to know that I converted, and that my brother-in-law, actually he's a priest that converted, and he told me that I should come more often and should study Christianity to a much larger depth, so I can save the pride of the church, and maybe even it's a good opportunity to try through my brother-in-law to convert my family to Christianity. I know it sounds to you horrible, but that back then I thought that it's the right thing to do, and I was going to lectures in Christianity, trying to increase my knowledge about the New Testament, unfortunately. And thinking that's the right way is to try to convert my family through my brother-in-law. And 5 months after, as we agreed to meet each other in Muncie, I met my brother-in-law. And I flew to New York, and then we met each other. And I was during the day I was with my family, and then I at night we went to Rabbi Yosefi again in Muncie. There was a nearby the synagogue, there was a room, I don't know how it was, a small nice room, and some rabbis were waiting there, and I had a small little table waiting for me, but there were, you know, like a half a circle around me, like 15 rabbis, and I asked them, I asked my brother-in-law, who are those people? I didn't come to argue with all those people on my own all along. It's not even a fair thing to do. It's not a fair argument. Then Rabbi Dr. Batesh, Yitzchak Batesh, that came especially from Mexico. He came early, 2 days before the seminar started to meet me. He told me, "You're right, and you don't have to answer every question we ask. Just write it down. We're gonna write it down and be honest. Be honest. If you don't have an answer, just go back and ask yourself and ask the pastors around you. If you want, you can call to the Vatican. You can ask anywhere. I'm sure that you're not gonna find a theological answer to my questions." So I told him, "Yes, that's what I'll do. I will write down the questions that you're asking that I don't know to answer, and then I'm gonna fax you the answers if you want in a few months." He told me, "Yes, take your time. Just make sure that you are an honest person. That if you find out that you were wrong, that you're harming your nation, your people, your family, your own soul, rejecting your own identity, all I'm asking is just leave your missionary activity and go to search for another job for living." I agreed to be an honest person, and I told him, ask him if he is an honest person, and if I will convince him whether he will convert to Christianity. And all the rabbis started to laugh, and he told me, "Yes, do not touch my hand, but I'm an honest person, and I was already searching. I was about to convert to Christianity, to get married with a Gentile woman. I then was called to take care of an old man in Mexico, and when I arrived to his house and I saw so many books in his little library, private library in his house, then I realized that he probably was a really wise old man. And I started to take care of him, and then I used to come a little more often, and I asked him whether he can answer my questions. And he told me, yes, he can answer my questions, and then I started to ask questions. And then one thing, he asked me one question. The question was, that insulted me, that's what he told me. The question was, are you in control? Actually, you're about to convert, you're about to get married. Are you under control? Are you doing a really intelligent act by doing such a thing, by converting? Do you know what you have in your hand, what Judaism is all about? Maybe you have diamonds in your hand and you are giving it up and taking maybe, who knows, stones instead. And then Rabbi Dr. Yitzhak Batesh told me that I felt that I'm insulted because I used to have everything under my control. And all of a sudden he asked me whether I realized that I don't know enough about Judaism and I'm not exactly under control and I'm giving up something that I really don't know well enough. So I decided to really study a little more about Judaism and then maybe to give it up. So I used to come a little more often to that old man and in Mexico and study with him in Torah or study about Judaism. He chose the subject, and then after a few months I realized that I'm not going to give up on my Judaism, my identity. It was a big mistake. That's what he told me. And then I canceled the marriage, and I decided not to get married with a Gentile. So, when he told me that story, it was like a wake-up call to do the same and to imitate him. And I thought to myself, yes, why not? I really don't know well enough my own Judaism and my own identity. I become an orphan. My father died when I was very young, so and I become an orphan, and I don't know well enough my own Judaism. So maybe it's a good opportunity, really, to go over it again, and be have a little more peaceful emotions, not to avoid the and to try to avoid the conflict from within, from what I, inside me, whether I'm doing the wrong thing and I'm harming the wrong people. That's the feeling that I was asking myself many questions. My consciousness used to really bother me. So I decided to do it finally, once and to make sure for forever that I'm on the right path, doing the right thing. The argument took all night. The rabbis start to ask questions. I was writing all the questions that I don't know to answer. And then I was asking them questions. They answered the question. It was all the questions was quite reasonable to me, well understood. I started even not to understand myself toward the end of the argument, but I told myself, don't give up so soon. Go back and ask your pastors, and then really do something real, not a quick thing, and take your time and really allow yourself to make a good decision, something that you're gonna feel good with it. So when they started to pray in the morning, it was from 11:30 at night till 7:30 in the morning. So they made a minyan there, and I left the place after with a list of questions that I couldn't answer. But I was quite sure that if I'll go back to Florida, I will have some answers to my questions, and I have many friends in the church. I'm gonna be able to search and find and fax the answers. All I can say is it was another day with my family, with my sister and her young baby, and my brother-in-law, and then I left back to Florida, and then my search started. Every Sunday I used to come to the gathering of the pastors and to ask questions that I got through the facts that used to come more often during the week, but I was keeping them for the gathering on Sunday. And then I used to stand and ask some questions and see how they respond to the questions, to the theological questions. I was allowed to ask my questions there. And basically, I never got real answers. They used to like wipe me out with their short answers, or sufficient answers that I can feel quiet and peaceful with them. And I started really to understand that I have a little problem here. Many questions are coming from the rabbis around the world, getting faxes from all over the place, from Israel, from New York, from Washington, from Europe. And Dr. Botesha just gave the fax to many people to fax me, and then probably people that converted from Christianity to Judaism, and they knew well enough the material to ask questions that the church could not answer. After a year, almost a year of not having answers for the new questions that I got, I felt that I'm really in trouble, probably not on the right path. I saw that those people that I was surrounded with were nice, were polite, but they were not able to really answer my questions, so I can feel peaceful and comfortable with my new decisions of being a Christian, or being a Jewish for Jesus, or being whatever Protestant. In any ways, I realized that I cannot hold to the New Testament. So I decide not to go to the church no more. That got me a little more into a trouble with my wife, because she used to go on Sundays, and she asked me why aren't you coming. I used to have many excuses. She knew about the argument, but I didn't tell her what's going on, and what is my problems, because I realized that I cannot cause her to be unstable emotionally, and she could not hold what I went through. So I decided to keep it for my own self, and to have my own research, and then maybe later on to have an influence on her if I can, and see whether being with her it's the right thing. And so I keep it to my own self for that time being. After almost a year of such an argument, then one day I got a phone call from one of my friends that told me that his father, which was one of the pastors, died, and I should come to the funeral. And then I came to the funeral, and I was in shock to see the ceremony of how they say goodbye to the death, how they pass through. And it was a very shocking event to me. And right after that, Steve, the son of that old pastor, used to call me a lot, and basically he even asked me to come and have a serious discussion. He realized that I'm leaving the church, and he asked me, why are you doing it? And I told him, look, I have many faxes and many questions that I couldn't answer. And he told me that he's aware of it, and he's also hesitating and not having really an answers for the questions. And he flew to Jerusalem with his wife for the first time to visit in Christian places, holy places in Israel, in Jerusalem. And he asked me to arrange a meeting between him and my brother-in-law in Jerusalem. He flew to Israel, and when he was there in Israel, and he met my brother-in-law, then he was walking around Jerusalem with a tour guide with my brother-in-law, and with an open Bible. And my brother-in-law was able to show him some prophecies that was fulfilled, Hosea and Jeremiah, and Yechezkel, the prophets, were prophesizing about the building of Jerusalem in the end of time, about the coming, the Jewish people coming from all over the world to back to the land of Israel. And he was showing him some prophecies. He was showing him Jerusalem being built, showing him the streets of Jerusalem, the Kotel, the Western Wall, showing him the branches of old people that sitting there, and prophecies that Od Yeshvu Zkenim Uzkenot Berchavot Yerushalayim. And he was very amazed. He realized that actually the Bible is pointing out who are the right people of the Bible, who are the real Israelite. And the church claimed that they inherit the blessing. They are become the right Israelite after we rejected their Messiah. And therefore, when he realized that actually the all the end of time prophecies are being fulfilled by us, he was in shock. He told me, we went to the old city of Jerusalem, and instead of going to the church, Via Dolorosa, and the church of where Jesus was buried, then he went to the Western Wall with my brother-in-law. And when he was in Bethlehem, instead of going to the church where the birth church of Jesus, then he went to Kever Rachel with my brother-in-law. I was traveling and I visited Israel once, but I've done exactly the opposite. Instead of going to Kever Rachel in Bethlehem, I crossed the street to go to the church of where Jesus was born, okay, the birth church of Jesus. And instead of going to the Western Wall, I was far enough from Judaism to see all the Orthodox people and to feel that I don't want to go to the Western Wall. I want to go to the church where to the Via della Rosa. I was insulted by him saying such a thing. When he came back to the States, he told me what he have done, and he told me that his mother used to call him and to tell him, why did you leave the church? His father died, and his father was guiding the church. He was ministering the church, and he was supposed to go on with the ministry. And why did you leave? Why did you leave? Why didn't you go on with the ministry? And he told her that he wanted to come once in his life to see the holy places in Jerusalem, but actually, holy places of Christianity. That was his excuse, but actually he didn't go there. He went to the other places. He saw them from far, but he was with my brother-in-law. Didn't have even the emotional need to go to see the places where he would, of his own inheritance. To go to see his own legacy. He came to Israel, came to the Middle East, and after coming for the first time and meeting my brother-in-law, he was more convinced to go with him and not to leave him and go. It was really surprising to me hearing to his own story and understanding that I've done exactly the opposite thing. And I ask myself, how come I went so far? How come such a thing happened to me that I was rejecting Judaism emotionally so hard that I could not even stand coming close to the Western Wall It raises many, many questions inside me, a big conflict, and I realize it's something that I have to check for my own self. Why? What happened? All I can say is basically my conclusion is since my father died when I was young and I was spending my childhood in dormitories around the country in Israel and suffering from I would say social economic problems, and probably the condition was a bad condition. I didn't open my heart well enough and good enough to listen to the message of Judaism and to be abounded with it, so I can not give up. I was searching for other life, for a solution somewhere else. I was trying to run away from something, and I realized that as soon as I found another spirituality, despite the fact that I was claiming to myself that I'm searching for a universal message rather than a local truth in the Middle East, and maybe in Christianity, trying to really give an international message, or Islam, an international religion. And then I realized actually that that was not exactly the reason. Underneath the carpet, underneath my subconsciousness, probably I had another problem that was guiding me without me able to recognize the real problem. I'm giving myself an excuses that I'm searching for the right truth around the world, but actually suffering from trying to run away from my own identity, because the condition was probably a suffer by raising in such an environment that could not give me an answer. On one hand, I was hiding my questions. I needed that Judaism will not be true, so I can run away from it and find myself in another place, and dream far to find heaven somewhere else. We're gonna make a little break here and listen to a little music, and then we'll go on with the story.